All right, Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 6. We're going to start reading with verse number 10. And the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." I want to talk to you tonight as we continue our study on how to have a victorious Christian life. The victorious Christian life. How to overcome the problems that the world, the flesh, and the devil put our way. How to be a successful Christian. You could name it whatever you want. But all these are coming down to the same spot. And so, I want to help you tonight understand what God has for us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you now for tonight. I ask that you meet with us in a very special way. Teach us the truth. Help us to apply it to our life. Help us to look at this earnestly, sincerely, and honestly as we look into our own life. And see how that we can put on the armor that you've given us, the whole armor. And not just the armor, there are 14 separate weapons that you've given us to work, to overcome, and to conquer. You've made us more than conquerors. You've given us the victorious life already, and I ask that you'd help us to apply it as you've given it to us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Salvation is a free gift. All we have to do is accept Christ as our Savior, and He becomes our Savior. We can challenge many things in our own lives, but the truth is, when we go to Christ and ask Him to save us, He simply saves us. It's already been done. It's already completed. All we have to do is accept it. It's already there. The victorious Christian life is the same way. It's already there. It's already completed. It's there for the taking. All we have to do is accept it, and it becomes ours. That's what the Bible's teaching us here about the armor of God. We learned so far that we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. In the world, the flesh, and the devil, they want to destroy us. They want to stop. The devil wants to stop us from doing anything at all for God. Period. Doesn't matter who we are or what we've done. He wants to stop everything we do. So, he attacks us. He attacks us through the world, he attacks us through the flesh, and he attacks us himself personally. We've learned that there are some things that God has given to us that help us to identify it when we're in a spiritual warfare. Remember, the first thing he says here in verse number 12 is that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. A human being can never be your enemy. I'll say that again. A human being can never be your enemy. It seems like sometimes people can be our enemy, but that's because the devil makes it or presents it in such a way that the individual becomes our enemy. Let me ask you a question. Was Eve Adam's enemy in the garden? Or was Satan? Satan was. But Satan used Eve to accomplish his task, is that right? He wanted to stop Adam from having a good relationship with God. He wanted to stop Eve from having a good relationship with God. So what did he do? He did everything in his power to convince her to do wrong, to convince him to do wrong. And it worked. Alright? Well, the truth is that Eve was never Adam's enemy. Never has been, never will be. The enemy is always the same. So no human being is ever your enemy. That doesn't mean Satan doesn't use them, and Satan doesn't use the flesh and the world to make it seem like they're our enemy. But if we're looking at the individual for our enemy, we're looking at the wrong place. But there are things that God gives us to help us understand when a spiritual attack is coming. We review them every week. I'm going to review them again. Flag number one, when our attitude is affected. When we get an attitude about anything, when our attitude starts to get affected, look out immediately. Know you are in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare has nothing to do with an individual, but it does have to do with us. And if it can affect our attitude, if it can affect our minds, it'll affect us completely. Number two, second flag is onsetting of depression. Have you ever just gone through a day and things are going good, but all of a sudden you start to become melancholy, a little blue, a little discouraged, a little defeated? Before you know it, you get in a little area of depression. I'm not talking about people who are taking medication for depression. I'm talking about all of us go through times of depression. Things where we just life is like Limburger cheese on our mustache. Everything stinks. Amen? It just is not good. It's just hard. It's just irritating. And we get depressed. When depression starts to come in your life, you're in a spiritual warfare. It's not from God. God is not the author of depression. He doesn't want us negative. He doesn't want us depressed. He doesn't want us down. He doesn't want us out. He doesn't want us blue. But those are indications that we're in a spiritual warfare. Number three, we think about quitting or giving up or running away from things. When we think about quitting, giving up, or running away from things, those are all flags that we're in a spiritual war. Why? Because the first thing the devil wants you to do is quit doing the right thing. And it's easier to quit doing the right thing because it goes against our nature anyway. Our nature wants to do wrong. We were born and conceived in sin, is that right? And sin did, we've lived, and then we got saved, and we still have that only, we got a new nature now. But the old nature hasn't died off yet because we still live in the flesh. That flesh is still here. I still got my flesh all over me. And I won't lay down that flesh till I go to heaven. And then I don't have that flesh to irritate me. But I know this, that when I think about giving up or quitting or running away from things, I'm in a spiritual battle. I need to stop and say to myself, whoa, time out, wait. Why is this happening? I'm in a spiritual battle. Well, that's why we review these every week, so that we can start to notice these flags. And when they start to come up, we can say, whoa. I didn't realize I'm in a spiritual war over this. But we are. We're in a spiritual war over these things because the devil wants to stop anything that has to do with God. Another one. When we think or dwell on anger or bitterness about people or the past. We dwell on the past, or we dwell on bitterness, or we get angry every time we think about somebody. Again, people are never our enemy. Our enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Our enemies are in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. That's our enemy. We got to recognize that's our enemy. So when we start to feel anger or bitterness about the past or bitterness about people, and they do happen because we feel we dwell on our emotions. Emotions can't dictate to you everything we feel. We've got to go further than that. But when we live with life on our sleeves, you know what I'm saying? We live with our emotions on the sleeves of life. We end up to become angry. We become bitter. It's not wrong to be angry. It's wrong to be, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So it's okay to get angry. But it's not okay to stay angry. It's not okay to let it eat you up on the inside. So we become bitter, and we start to become bitter about people or things in the past. Those are flags that tell you, boom, you're in a spiritual warfare. You're in a spiritual warfare. Look out, you're in a spiritual warfare. I'll never forget when I was a kid, there was a TV program called Lost in Space, and they had a robot. And the robot would go, warning, Will Robinson, warning, Will Robinson. Hello, it would come up with a warning. Look out, something bad is going to happen. And there'd be a warning sign. These are warning signs. These are the same things. Look out, you're in a spiritual warfare here. When you become numb to the Holy Spirit, when you can't get excited about spiritual things, when we don't want to pray, we don't want to read our Bible, we don't want to witness, we don't want to tithe, we don't want to do spiritual things, those are all telling you and I that we're in a spiritual warfare. The devil's trying to stop us from something. You can do more for Christ with your life than what you ever imagined, and he knows that. And so if he can knock you off, if he can knock you down, if he can freeze you in your tracks, if he can get you spiritually discouraged, then he wins the battle. And there will be people, friends, neighbors, loved ones, that will spend eternity in hell because we stopped going forward. When our desires or ability, when our desires or ability to want to live is affected. When we think about dying or getting away from everything because we want to just escape, oh, I hate being alive. That's a spiritual warfare sign. That's not an addiction sign. It's a selfishness sign. It's a sign of selfishness. We're just thinking about us. We're not thinking about anything else. We're thinking about how I feel and how I do this. It's a selfishness thing. And the truth is, it's a signal. We're in a spiritual warfare. He's got us, our mind and our eyes off of others that we need to reach, and we got them back on us. And whenever I look at me, I never have an honest look at who I am. Listen, I think I'm handsome. Now, there may be people that don't think that, but I think I am. I feel like I'm kind of cute. I like my hair. I like a lot of things about me. I can put myself in a room all by myself and have a wonderful time because I like me. I just like me. I have fun. I can be goofy and have a lot of fun all by myself. If you ever saw me drive down the road by myself, you'd think there were three or four other people in the car and we're all having the same conversation out of the same mouth, different personalities. I just have fun. I enjoy life. I like me. There's nothing wrong with that. But not everybody likes me. But the truth is, if I look at myself in the mirror, I don't see myself as I really am. I think of myself as I perceive myself. See? I perceive my voice the way I perceive my voice. I think it's a high, squeaky, feminine voice. I don't know what you think of it is, but I think of it that way. One of these days, I want to grow up and get a man's body. Okay, I don't like this little feminine body I got with these small bones and small muscles and the strength of, I don't know, an ant, and it's not adamant. One of these days I would like to have one of those big booming voices that make everybody go, whoa! I don't have that, okay? I got this thing that, I'm not sure if he's a man or a woman on a telephone. And so, I know that's maybe not how you perceive. That's how I perceive things. So my perception about me is never accurate. Your perception about you is never accurate. So if the devil gets us to look off of others onto ourselves, we're always going to get a perverted view of what reality is. I tell people, my wife thinks this is the funniest thing, and she knows it's true, that I live in Doug Marco bubble land. Pardon me? But you think it's true. And I know it's true. I know I live in Doug Marco bubble land. And in Doug Marco bubble land, everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. There's never any issues. There's never any problems. I live there. I have a wonderful time. I exist inside my bubble. And everybody just loves me to pieces. And I'm the most enjoyable, charming human being in my bubble. And I am. And I like it. And it comforts me to have my own little bubble from time to time. Now, the truth is that that's not the way the rest of the world perceives me. So my perception of myself is not reality. And your perception of yourself is not reality. And so when the devil gets us off of others and makes us look at ourselves and we start to become selfish, and we start to look at ourselves, and we lose our resolve to do the right thing because we get changed. Because the reality that's around us is not the reality that we see. How many times, and this is true about ladies, a lady looks in the mirror and she doesn't think she looks pretty and her husband, she'll look at her husband and say, how do you think I look? And he says, oh, you look beautiful. Oh, no, I don't. Then why did you ask? But that is how I see you. Okay? So the thing is that what we see in ourselves isn't reality. And so when the devil gets our mind on us and off of others, that's a red flag that tells you and me we're in a spiritual warfare. When we lose our resolve about living or doing anything, making anything out of our life, that's a red flag that we're in a spiritual warfare. When our mind becomes clouded about things, we become confused. The Lord's not the author of confusion. That's a red flag that tells you and me, hey, whoa, wait a minute, we're in a spiritual warfare. When we become negative instead of positive, God wants us to be on positive things. We learned last week and we've learned over the weeks that God wants us to think on good things. But when we start to dwell on negative things, look out, again, that's another red flag that tells us we're in a spiritual warfare. When we experience no joy and no peace and no thankfulness, we have anxiety and frustration and they rule over us. That's another spiritual warfare. Please, that needs to be a response to go, oh, I'm in a spiritual warfare. I need to put on my armor. Our spiritual attacks never, is just alone. It always affects everyone around us. When I succumb to a spiritual attack, it affects me, it affects my wife, it affects my children. Now it'll affect my grandchildren. It'll affect those around me. It'll affect the people in my church. It'll affect my friends. It'll affect my neighbors. Why? Because I don't live to myself and I don't die to myself. You don't live to yourself. You don't die to yourself. Everything we do affects others. So these are all signs of spiritual warfare and things that cause us to be aware of the fact that we're in trouble. We are in trouble, and we need some help from heaven. So we found out that the first thing is that God gives us some weaponry. And the first thing He gives us is our loins girt about with truth. That is our very foundation of everything we do is truth. So the first thing we learned was truth. Then we learned about the breastplate of righteousness. And then how there's two breastplates. There's a breastplate of salvation, that kind of righteousness. And then holy living or holiness, a sanctified life where we live doing the right thing. And that's the second breastplate that God gives us. Then we learned last week about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And how we need to be witnesses and testimonies, give testimony of what Christ has done for us. If He can stop us, the first place He wants to cut us off is at the feet. If He can stop a soldier's feet from going forward, he's lost the battle. He can't continue to go into the battlefield because his feet are damaged. So we need to protect our feet with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then we started on the shield of faith last week, the shield of faith. And we're going to continue right there, the shield of faith. Notice what it says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I told you last week that the shield of faith is a shield that's outside of the armor, and that in the Old Testament days, that when they go to battle, they had a shield bearer that would run in front of them, and the shield was as tall and as big as the soldier themselves, and it was as wide as the soldier was wide. So there'd be a man that would carry a shield and hold that shield, and then arrows from the other side would come, they would take that shield and the man in his armor would squat down like this, and the shield bearer would get in front of him, and they'd pull the shield like this, and all the arrows would hit the shield, bounce off of them, and protect them from being injured. The shield was went from the top of their head to the tips of their toes. It was a total and complete coverage. And our shield of faith is total and complete in its coverage. It goes from our top of our head to the tips of our toes. God tells us that above all, we need to take that shield of faith. If there's nothing else that you have a shield of faith that is in front of you to protect you, that will stop the devil's temptations. That'll stop the discouragement. That'll stop the melancholy. That'll stop the negative feelings. That'll stop the all these things we talked about spiritually. Attacks. All those things are things that are going towards us. The devil wants to stop us. He wants to hit us. And so if we take the shield of faith, it will quench all those darts. Not just those darts we talked about last week, fiery darts. Because the fiery dart is a fiery arrow that they take and they dip in the tar or some other kind of material. Then they light it on fire and they shoot that thing and it aim for a part of the body. And whenever it would hit, if it hit a chink in the armor, a weakness in the armor, then not only would it pierce them, but it would burn them. And now they have a double problem. It's one thing to be cut. It's another thing to be cut and burnt. It doesn't take much of a burn to take us out. And the devil doesn't just launch darts against you and me. He launches fiery darts, and God's warning you and I that when we see these warning signs come up, these are fiery darts from the devil, and we need to get behind our shield of faith. The shield defends the whole body, so faith defends the whole man. The understanding from error, the consciousness of the searedness of our soul, the will from rebellion against the will of God and the commands of God. The shield defends the whole armor. It defends every portion of us, as well as the soldier's body. It defends the breastplate. It defends the helmet. The shield of faith is our armor upon armor. if you will. Grace that preserves when all other grace seems to go away. That's what faith is. It's that extra, I'm saved by grace, I live by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. So I have no control over my salvation. It's given to me by Jesus Christ. His work is done. And I didn't do any of it. And He gives it to me by grace. And by the way, the victory is ours by grace as well. And that grace comes through that faith in that we put in our armor or in Jesus Christ. So when other grace may seem to fail and all those other things around us seem to fail, our shield of faith holds fast. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4 it says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And that is victory that overcometh the world. And then I love these last three words, "even our faith." That's 1 John 5, 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Well, that's what we're trying to battle, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil. So we already got the victory. He's promised it to us. This is God. He's promising it to us. He says it's already yours. And how are we going to get that? By faith. By keeping that shield of faith. "He that is whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world." And this is, how do we do it? Here's the victory. Even our faith. So when I put my faith and trust in Christ and I depend on Him, whether I understand it or don't understand it, and I take by faith, if you will, this is being my shield, and I hide behind my shield, and the fiery darts come and it covers me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes, all the launches of hell come against me, the world comes against me, the flesh comes against me, and all these things are going on around me, I hide behind that shield of faith. And victory's mine. God's promised it. Even our faith. Every regenerated, saved, born-again Christian is a victorious conqueror over the enemy. Everyone. The Christian is a soldier, and as soon as he is a believer, and he's a conqueror as soon as he becomes a soldier. Isn't that amazing? So we get saved, we become a soldier. The very moment we become saved and become a soldier, we become a victor. We win automatically. The victory is already ours. How is it already ours? By faith. This is the victory. That he hath an enemy which is under his feet, and that enemy must flee, and that enemy can't come against my shield of faith. So there's nothing the devil can do. The special weapon that the Christian has to conquer this world and the flesh and the devil is his faith. So how's your faith? Many warriors have done great things in conquering kingdoms, but the greatest conqueror that there are just simply things that they've conquered. The poor, they've conquered other countries, they conquer small parts of the earth, and they still don't always have the victory. They may have conquered something, but the victory doesn't stay. But with the Christian, our conquest is universal. It completely is covered. That's what God has promised us. He said, "The victory is yours." Let me read that verse again in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So for me to not have a victory and for you not to have a complete and utter victory all the time is for God to be a liar. But what do we have to do? We have to apply it. We have to apply the shield of faith. So, when I see the fiery darts, when I see the arrow come, when I see the bow come back, when I see the arrow launched into the air, you know and I know when an attack is coming. We just identified a lot of different ways that we see the arrows in the air, didn't we? And so that's when I grab my shield of faith and I make sure I get behind that thing, because it's going to give me a total victory from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. God has promised it. So the conquest is ours. We, the Christian, the born-again believer, the Bible tells us that the victory is ours. We're at home with Christ. It's always ours. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world." So in Jesus Christ, in my faith in Jesus Christ, in the power of Jesus Christ, in the power of His Word, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So we are, and the Word came and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we know that Jesus is the Word of God. So when I put my faith in the Word of God, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, it becomes my shield of faith And the victory is mine. He's promised it. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to be down. I don't have to be out. I don't have to be confused. I don't have to be frustrated. I don't have to be irritated. I don't have to carry the burdens that the world carries with them. I don't have to go get liquor in order to drown my sorrows. I don't have to inject some kind of drug in my life, into my body, in order for me to have some kind of victory. I already have the victory by faith in Jesus Christ. It's mine. It was given to me. All I have to do is put my hands on it and by faith claim it. And it's mine. That's all I got to do. Just like flipping on a light switch turns on the lights. Just like turning it off. If I don't turn it on, I turn them off. There's the power's there. It's just waiting for the flipping of the switch. All I got to do is allow God's faith in Jesus Christ. Allow it to go in front of me. So when I see those arrows coming at me, I run to my shield of faith. I don my breastplate of righteousness, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But most of all, I'm going to put that shield of faith in front of me. And I'm going to hide behind it. Because that's what's giving me the victory right now. Now, I'll have an offensive weapon in just a little while, but I can't use my offensive weapons when I'm hiding behind my shield. So what do I need to do then? I need to hide behind my shield. And what's it say then again in verse 16? Above all. Man, those are very important two words there. Above all, above everything else, no matter what you do, first thing you've got to do is make sure you have that shield of faith in place. Faith in Jesus Christ has power and greater might and greater power to give the victory than anything the world, the flesh, or the devil could kick up. So let me give you a few things about faith and we're done. Number one, faith is your personal confidence in God and the promises of His Word. That's what faith is. Faith is your personal confidence in God and the promises of His Word. If you don't believe Him, if you don't have confidence in Him, then you don't have faith and you have no shield. That doesn't mean you're not saved. That just means you didn't flip that switch. Number two, faith is trusting God enough to obey Him no matter what the odds, knowing He will give you the victory. So if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel surrounded, if it just seems like defeat is all around me, instead of giving in, we're just going to blow it anyway. No. Faith is trusting God enough to obey Him no matter what the odds are. Just doing what He says. All right. I'm having trouble, but all right. I'm just by faith. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm just going to keep on doing the right thing. Doesn't make sense. I don't see how it's going to work, but you don't have to worry about it if you stick that shield out there. I don't have to understand all the functions of a shield, do I? Do I have to understand all the makeup of the metal of the shield in order to know that it's going to protect me from the arrows? No, all I got to do is put it there in front of me. I may not even understand how the shield can overcome so many arrows at one time. I don't need to understand but I don't understand it. You don't need to understand it, you just need to trust Him. So when the odds go against you, just hide behind the shield. Hide back behind the shield till you feel comfortable to come out. There's an old saying that says, when you don't know what to do, don't do nothing at all. Well, I like to put it this way. When you don't know what to do, don't do nothing at all. Stay behind your shield. Stay behind your shield. The shield of faith. Trusting God. It's hard. It's not easy. We want to poke our head out. See what's going on. Oh, got hit. Right? We want to kind of cheat a little bit. Just turn her kind of behind it. See what else is going on. But God says, no. Just get behind it. Let me take care of you. Number three. It acts as a shield against doubt when we trust Christ. But when our feelings are more than what we know to do with, and our experiences seem to overwhelm us, rather than fully trusting Christ's promises, we have a tendency to trust ourselves, and discouragement and everything else goes in there. So even when it feels like we shouldn't be doing this, do it. So the shield acts as a double shield. It shields our emotions. It shields our feelings. It shields our faith or our trust in Christ as we see it operate. Let me try to put it a different way. When I hear the arrows hitting the shield and they're not penetrating, it increases my faith. And even though I doubted, my faith becomes stronger. And even though my emotions said, this isn't the right thing, now my emotions start to become balanced again. Why? Because those are all things that the devil's trying to put off kilter. If he can get those things off kilter, he gets me off kilter and knocks me down, and I don't have my shield of faith to hide behind. And my experiences of the past aren't what I'm supposed to be trusting. So when the arrows start to hit that shield, I go, oh, hey, how about that? What I experienced in the past isn't what I'm experiencing now because I'm trusting Christ. So all of that stuff starts to become rearranged in our mind and in our heart because the shield really becomes a double shield. Not only is it protecting me physically, it's actually increasing my faith in Christ. Number four, a weak shield is because we have weak faith. A weak shield is because we have weak faith. The only way to have strong faith is by studying and learning the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the only way for your faith and my faith to really grow like it should is be in the Bible. That's why my theme for this year is living in the Word of God. That's why I talk to everybody all the time. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. That's why I say all the time, memorize the Word of God. If you go to the website, listen to it. Why? All of these things do nothing but strengthen our shield. When I do not read my Bible, when I do not hide God's Word in my heart, I may pray like a wild man, but if I do not read my Bible and I do not hide God's Word in my heart, if I do not hear the Word of God, then my shield of faith gets weak. It doesn't matter how much you pray. Because prayer isn't what makes faith grow. What makes faith grow is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. It's not Christian music. I know people that will substitute Christian music for prayer time. For Bible reading. Well, I just feel good and I listen to it all the time. It makes me feel good. Well, you didn't increase your faith. You may have feelings and emotions, but your faith didn't grow. And so what's the devil going to do? He's going to come after those very things that you just fed. You just fed your feelings and emotions, so he's going to kick those out. And instead of standing when you're supposed to stand, and having done all, above all, put the shield of faith there, you don't have a strong shield because you haven't been in the Word of God. It's very important, no matter what our position is in life, whether it's a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister or a husband and a wife or a pastor or a deacon or just a church member, because there is no just a church member, that we're in the Word of God, because that's what gives us faith. The more you're in the Word of God, the more you hear the preaching of the Word of God, the more you hear the Word of God, the more you read the Word of God, the more you hear the Word of God, the more you read the Word of God, the more you memorize the Word of God, the more you hear the Word of God, the more you read the Word of God. All of it feeds our strength and increases the strength of our shield. So instead of our shield getting riveted by the darts, and maybe even darts getting through because of our weakness of our shield, it gets strengthened. And as we strengthen our shield, it doesn't affect it at all. Because our faith becomes strong. And how does it become strong? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Father, I thank you for what we've learned tonight. Holy Spirit.